the future. There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Everybody, welcome, welcome. Yes, here we are. Here we are. It is Wednesday, May 12th, 2021. Welcome to the newest edition of the Raging Chickens Collection of Podcasts. Yes, it's Out to Coop Wednesdays with Cyril. I don't know if we're going to call it that, but we're going to keep on. That's where we're going for now, Wednesdays with Cyril. Cyril Michaleko is a progressive columnist for the Bucks County Courier Times and the Intelligencer. This show joins Out to Coop Live, our Monday evening interview show, and our Friday show in which Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. You can get all our shows by subscribing to our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And you can help support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/rcpress. I want to give a special shout out to our new May members, Jillian Ross and Christopher, who upped his membership from a $5 to a $10 a month patronage. Thank you for your support. That's what's helped makes this show possible. And you can help out the show also by heading over to our YouTube channel. And if you're not there already, but if you are there, make sure you smash that subscribe button. You want to like the stream of the show right now, and you want to hit that notification bell so that you know every time we go live. And a special shout out once again to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all of his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at @songadayman. That's with two N's, @songadayman on Twitter. Well, today's show, let's call this a soft launch of our new regular, semi-regular show, Out to Coop Wednesdays with Cyril. Yes, indeed. I kind of like it. It's got a nice, like, it's like Tuesdays with Maury, except Wednesdays with Cyril. You know, it's like that kind of deal, I guess. Now, we don't know if that's going to stick with the name of the show, but right now it's descriptive, you know, so you got to give me that. Today's show, Cyril and I will talk a little bit about our ideas for the show, check in on some remarkably important school board elections in Bucks County. Look at maybe spotlight some of the connections between the increasingly extreme Bucks County Republican Party and this past weekend's New Yorker article on State Senator Doug Mastriano's Christian nationalism. Yes, once again, PA making it in the national press. And we're also going to see and check in with Cyril about, you know, what he's been writing about in his recent columns and what he might maybe give us a little sneak peek at what's coming up. So, Cyril, good morning.
Morning.
Here we are. You know, we've been talking about this for a little bit now. I mean, we had you on Out to Coop Live first about a month ago now. And this is, you know, kind of slowly been evolving. I'm very, very excited about kind of this kind of collaboration to see what we do with real focus on Bucks County and beyond. But it's great to kind of finally be sitting down and actually doing this.
No, I appreciate you having me back on.
Yeah, of course. So, like, you know, let's. I thought as a by way of introduction a little bit, we could just kind of maybe talk a little bit about, let people a little know about what we're thinking about in this kind of collaboration and so on, what we hope maybe for where this can go, what we hope that you'll get out of it, and, you know, why a show like this seems to be in particular important. I could start, you know, on my end of things. One, first of all, when, you know, I said this when you were on the show and Out to Coop Live, having a progressive voice in the kind of local newspapers is absolutely critical. And your column is, you know, is phenomenal. And what I, you know, said before, right out of the bat, you know, kind of the first thing you do, you kind of come out swinging, basically saying this is a progressive voice. You know, it's not like, hey, you know, thank you, everybody, for allowing me to speak in this space. You know, I won't hurt anybody. I'll just kind of give you a little. No. You come out swinging. You talk about what's happening in some of the school board elections. You talk about what a true progressive voice is going to kind of look like. And make it clear that there's going to be a sharp distinction between the kind of conservative voices that has dominated, the right-wing voices that have dominated these papers and the kind of news media in the area, versus kind of a progressive possibility. And it seems to me that Bucks County is one of these places that is a battleground, really locally, right, and kind of like across the Commonwealth and really nationally when we think about the, what's been happening in the Republican Party and at the same time the organizing that has been happening kind of among, say, progressive organizations over the past, especially after over the past like 5-6 years. So, I mean, that's kind of some of the things that makes total sense that we'd be sitting down and putting this focus on Bucks County and making sure that, you know, we're kind of, you know, keeping the coals hot, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, what we want to do or what I would like us to do and what I've been trying to promote with both my column and newsletter is just kind of like, you know, continuing to build and kind of like coalesce the progressive movement in Bucks County. It's been there for a while, right? Long before my column started. But I feel like there's still room to grow. I think we're in a moment now where I think it appears that the political paradigm is shifting a bit. And not to mention the fact that like we need to kind of band together to confront this, you know, far right lunatic fringe movement that's taking over the Bucks County GOP, the Pennsylvania GOP, and the national GOP. But you know, one of the things I think that is important for us to do is just, you know, there's so many great people and great organizations like doing things and great media. So like I've been following Raging Chicken for years. Like we, you know, we met like when you were first like starting it up. My background's in independent media. You know, I used to edit Upside Down World, which is an online publication that covered politics and activism in Latin America from a social movement perspective. There's these other podcasts that are happening in Bucks County right now. The Cano Show out of Doylestown, The Daily Burn. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be collaborating, right? Like, so like sharing our resources, you know, telling our stories together, adding to each other's work, because, you know, this isn't a competitive like media model, right?
Right.
Like, you know, this is a collaboration. And it, you know, while the Bucks County Courier Times and the Intelligencer, you know, do a great service for the community, and you know, I've been a huge critic of both papers before they before they had me come on as a columnist. They are shifting, and I feel like they are being, you know, more balanced, where in the past it really was just a platform for like far right voices in the community with absolutely no accountability about their words or actions, right? So with the progressive independent media, you know, we're telling our own stories. We're using it as an organizing tool, which is important, and as well as like educating people about the issues, the struggles, the campaigns that local folks are doing.
Yeah, you know, it's. I think there was a big concern too when the, you know, Courier Times, the Intelligencer was say bought out, because that came really on the heels of, I have to say, some of the best investigative reporting around the kind of water situation and say in Warminster, and everything. So they you know had this kind of developing trend of really some cutting investigative reporting. And obviously that is really distinct from the editorial board, right? And what's on the editorial pages. And I know that there was this concern that, okay, now if you're seeing this, you know, local paper getting bought out once again, that things were going to get watered down. And we're going to just be, you know, issued a bunch of fluff. And not to mention, you know, a situation in which we could lose some of that investigative reporting. But thus far, it seems that that hasn't quite happened, at least. And, you know, one of the things that you give a shout out to as well is saying, you know, in part when Gannett came in, is like that's one of these openings, these moments of to opening to allow for more voices, right? Your voice, right? A progressive kind of angles to actually even be possible within that form.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about like the Gannett USA Today network is, you know, they're now providing the institutional support for these journalists to go after the bigger picture stories, right? The investigative stories, the social issues, And Gannett and USA Today Network obviously have like a history, right, of doing
right,
this
right,
kind of
right.
reporting. So they're bringing that that experience and that institutional support to the Courier Times, to the Intelligencer, and I think to their like 13 or 14 other newspapers across Pennsylvania. And you're seeing like they also have a network and a larger pool of opinion and editorial writers that they can kind of turn to and just include in the editorial page, which I think is a great complement to the local writers that they have, you know, like myself and just the other guest opinionists or guest columnists that submit their work periodically. But again, like I am grateful that they, you know, after being a critic of the paper for, you know, a long time, and just calling them out unapologetically, if not pretty harshly,
they've fair.
Given me this space, you know, because say what you will, you know, like with my column, with any kind of like media critique, like I'm documenting everything. Right. Like
right.
including hyperlinks. I'm showing you where, who's saying what, when they said it, you know, where they said it. And it's hard to argue with the facts. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's an interesting mix between, say, something, you know, with the mention you talk about, say, collaboration with other folks that are doing, say, progressive media and so on. And then we have, you know, the kind of official, say, papers of record, if you will, kind of in the areas. And I've always looked at these two as kind of separate, right, and necessary components, right? So, like, for me, to having a paper of record that is actually doing the work of, you know, your kind of straight journalism is absolutely critical, right? To be able to have reporting, honest reporting, that are kind of digging into what's happening with public officials and so on. And, you know, again, primarily to be in that kind of objective voice, but, you know, objective doesn't mean like, well, this side says this and this side says this and we have no idea what that means, but it means actually that kind of reporting that is kind of getting to the bottom of, you know, issues that matter to the community. So, you know, I always look, you know, that's why I subscribe to the paper, right? I subscribe to the paper because I believe that we need to support these local institutions. But for a long time, it's been difficult in because, you know, it's because of the slant. But nonetheless, the reporters are important. And then on the other hand, you know, that we were talking about within social movements, if that we actually want to move this country in a direction of kind of, say, inclusive, say, you know, multiracial, multi-party democracy, right, that is kind of inhabits, say, justice and kind of equality and all that, then we need to push, right, and have media outlets and where, you know, we actually get to, as you kind of mentioned, to tell the story. And I think the only way that we can really do that with outside of billionaire backers that are just throwing us piles of money is to do this kind of collaboration, right? That we are not seeing each other as competitors in these moments, but as ways of kind of signal boosting kind of each other, right? And then picking up on narrative threads even, right? That we can take in from different angles from our kind of different perspective. So this is what I really hope. You know, this is what I, you know, I'll lay my cards on the table here. I've been hinting at this for a while on my shows. Now at the Coop, this is what I really think, you know, for me, this is what the summer is going to be about, right? It's going to be about reaching out to as many of these folks as possible, as many different media collaborations, and to talk about how we might actually work more consciously together, right, in a way that's kind of mutually reinforcing, in ways that is actually going to help, you know, build and reinforce and, you know, put the, you know, the spotlight on the amazing work that is happening in our communities, like you've been doing thus far, in both your column, right, and in your newsletter.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, on the one hand, like the paper's great to get things out to like a broader audience, right? And they've actually done a better job. Like, one of the biases isn't just like a political slant, but it's like who you're talking to, right? Who you're interviewing for your story,
right?
What voices get included? And they're starting to do a better job with that. They're reaching out to local organizations, Bucks County Racist Coalition, different progressive organizations, and you're seeing their voices to start get into these stories. What we're doing is like filling in the cracks because they have only like so much space in their daily papers, and there's only so much that they can kind of like explore. And I feel like what we're doing is just like continuing to expand the political imagination of people in Bucks County, because, you know, in the mainstream media, the political spectrum is typically pretty narrow, right? So we're expanding that, and we're giving them voices that kind of are exposing them to different possibilities about, you know, the racial, economic, and social justice world or community, and then from there, world that we want to build. And that's why right. it's so important. That's why I think like progressive media and progressive media collaboration is so important, because we're helping in that work.
Well, you know, one thing that I remember, this really stood out to me during the Wisconsin uprising back in 2011, when you had the occupation of the state capitol, and it was this explosion of bloggers that were really the only ones who were covering what was actually happening and the issues that were at stake. The local news outlets were so far behind the curve of what was actually happening. And it was this network of bloggers, which I've written about in some of my, you know, say academic publications. You know, Blue Cheddar, I remember I was following her. She was like doing just amazing, amazing reporting. And I was like, you know, back and forth with her all the time, just kind of getting updates. And I see this as kind of in a very similar way. And what I find interesting about the way that you kind of started your column and kind of where we're at right now and some of the things you're doing right now in your newsletter is that, you know, the school boards make it right to the center of the discussion, right? And on the one hand, you know, we've talked about this before, that sometimes it's most difficult to get information about politics that is closest to you, that has, you know, the greatest impact in some ways on your kind of daily lives, which is odd, right? You think it would be just kind of the opposite, but it's not the case. But what you've been doing, right, is looking, digging into some of these school board elections. You've been highlighting school board candidates that you're thinking that are worthwhile supporting, but also I think spotlighting the fact that, you know, these school boards, especially in Bucks County, basically they're being targeted in some ways by the right wing extremist like wing of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, particularly the Bucks County Party. So it's in some ways that on the one hand, yes, we're getting more information about the school board elections at the same time that school boards are becoming, you know, like ground zero in this kind of like right wing kind of conspiracy laden playbook of kind of this new breed of Republicans, right? So you talk through a little bit about some of that kind of approach and what you see is kind of going on here.
Yeah, I mean, first I really must say that I need to like thank the, you know, local progressive community for reaching out to me, for embracing me, and then just for helping me look into these folks, because they're the ones that have kind of like shown me where to find the information. They're the ones that are sharing the information. They're the ones that have been doing this type of work for a long time before even my column started. And I'm grateful that they trust me to kind of, you know, be a platform. They trust me and my column to kind of be a platform for, you know, their concerns and their kind of aspirations. But yeah, like you were saying, like, and this isn't just in like Bucks County, like, you know, with this, like, you know, this right wing for far right, even, you know, campaign to like take over school boards and just like local offices is happening across the country, right? And it's horrifying.
Right.
And some of these QAnon folks are winning, you know, right in your backyard in Penridge, right? There's already Joan Cullen, who's on the board, who's not up for re-election. We know that she went to the insurrection. She was questioned by the FBI. She has some just really like far right, out of the mainstream political beliefs. Denies that there's such a thing as systemic racism, right? And now with this upcoming election, it seems like the local Republicans are trying to even like push out like the moderates, right? So we have someone like Ricky
yes.
Chaykin who's running and running against an incumbent, right? And she was endorsed where these two like more moderate incumbents weren't. Here's someone that on Facebook shares her Parler profile with a Q superimposed over a American flag, right? So she's a QAnon follower. If you look at some of her social media posts, which now have all been scrubbed, but thankfully, like, local folks have, like, took screenshots of them. She's just, like, trafficking in these, like, QAnon-inspired conspiracy theories about child sex trafficking. The media is not covering it because who the, you know, quote-unquote customers are to this. She's also, like, transphobic and just bigoted and just shouldn't be anywhere near children, right?
Right.
Or being in a position to create policies that are, or and to approve curriculum that that are going to impact the lives of students and kind of, you know, as they becoming like adults and voters. I mean, it, in Palisades as well, same thing. There's Cora Landis, another QAnon supporter. She believes that there's going to be FEMA, quote unquote, re-doctrination camps, or I think what she meant was indoctrination camps. She's talked about the George Floyd protesters using, quote unquote, black to create anarchy. I don't know if, what exactly she means by that. Is also an Islamophobe. And again, just a bigot. And right. This is why I decided to kind of like, one, to write about this in the column, and two, like, to pivot my new, to use my newsletter to just kind of like suspend what I was doing with it before and just kind of like promote these candidates, these progressive candidates, these Democrats, just with the right kind of like vision, experience, and approach. So that people can get involved, because we need to like knock on the doors of our neighbors and we need to talk to them about this election and what's right. at stake, right? Because there's a lot at stake.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've already seen, on the one hand, there's the policy, right? There's what this means in terms of policy. I think you're absolutely right. The fact that some of these people should not even be anywhere near children and having influence on children. But beyond that too, as well, like the people that are being elected, especially the extremists, they also set a particular tone, right, for the culture of the school board, the culture of this, of the district, and of the towns in which they're located. I mean, I remember some of the Pembridge school board meetings were just horrific. I mean, that these were adults that were behaving like this, even, right, in a public space that was streamed live, where you have Joan Cullen and you've got some of these, you know, the kind of the right wing version, they're attacking other members of the school board, right, in ways that are just kind of unaccountable. And that being celebrated by their folks, like, you know, in the peanut gallery, so to speak, right? And that kind of creates that particular culture. And I think I might have mentioned this to you before at some point, kind of offline, but, you know, there was we got a notification from the middle school here in Pembridge. That there was an incident. There was like, if your child talks about what had happened today, just so you know, it's been taken care of. And I didn't know what it was talking about. So I asked my son about it. And some of his friends are in school. My son is all virtual right now. And he said, but yeah, basically the principal had to go around to class and tell kids not you'd like to be racist and to stop saying racist stuff to other students. And they were, this is not appropriate for school. And from, again, this is secondhand. Obviously, I was not in the classrooms. But what I started hearing from the students who were there, like, oh, yeah, some people were saying some pretty horrific things, which mirrored these QAnon kind of conspiracy things. And when that is kind of legitimized by school board members, right, or any local officials, that only fans the flame of that culture locally.
No, absolutely. And you could even like kind of like take this back to the Turning Point USA issue, right? That the fact that
absolutely.
They, you know, they're allowing this group, this national group, which is kind of like, you know, a pipeline to the alt-right with ties to like white supremacy and racism. They're sanctioning a high school club. And then without any kind of accountability or oversight, like you were talking about, you know, the culture of the school board, and especially in like Pembridge, it's run more like a junta than right. you know, some kind of like community governance that should be like accountable and kind of like open and accessible to the people. And even after, like, the, you know, the column that I wrote about Turning Point USA and how the Anti-Defamation League, you know, tried to get in touch with the superintendent and the principal, and their multiple requests were ignored. At the next meeting, what was conveniently missing was a link for folks to kind of log on and make comments, right?
So, oops, just just forgot.
Our bad. yeah, so yeah, and then just like what you said, like, you know, what's happening in the schools is kind of like a reflection of the kind of like behavior that, you know, these kids are seeing from adults, especially from adults in, you know, positions of authority and influence. And this is like one thing, like I do wish, like, you know, I think like there could be like some more like straight news stories about like what's happening with these candidates, right? Like, exactly. I haven't seen anything yet. And their social media is fair game, right? Because it's a reflection of who they are, what their political beliefs are, what their values are. And, you know, the broader public has a right to know, you know, I mean, if
100%. Well, this is even like, I mean, this has even been addressed in some court cases, right? Where you have elected officials blocking some of their constituents, and they're basically saying, you can't do that, right? The social media platforms have become a direct line of communication. And insofar as you're using it in your capacity as a public official, right. Or even this is kind of one of the lines of communication. And so this has been increased. I mean, and again, that's a specific form of speech, which goes beyond a little bit what you were just kind of referring to there. But absolutely. I mean, when we're trying to find out information about like who these folks are, obviously, if they're spending a chunk of their time on social media kind of writing about this stuff, that is absolutely fair game. Right. And it should be. Right. And I think, you know, look, I don't know what you think about this, but, you know, this is why I appreciate your column so much, looking at these school board members. And again, in your column, you're foregrounding the ones we should be voting for. Right. So I just put a link in our YouTube channel, just make sure to link to Cyril's newsletter. So you can actually see each one of these candidates that he's highlighting there. But one of the difficulties becomes is that you get, for a casual observer of local politics, it's hard to distinguish between one person and the other, because it seems but those folks who are kind of more on the Democratic side of things and those folks on the Republican side are all saying essentially the same things in their public materials. Like, we want to unify the school. We want to be together. We want, you know, to work for all kids. We should put the kids' interests first. You know, having to be able to tease out like, well, what that means. Right. Because it means something really different. If like, you know, if you're someone like Ricky Chaykin, right, you're saying putting the kids' interest first, what you mean is kind of like banning any negative kind of commentary or history about the United States, kind of purging, you know, histories that would look at kind of, you know, the slaughter of Native Americans as part of the founding of this country. Right. In other words, real history. Right. Full history. And you want to kind of ban that stuff, and you want to kind of like have this kind of pledge allegiance thing. Whereas someone who's coming more on the Democratic side of things, or even central side of things, might think like, look, we need to have a fair and objective educational system where students are exposed to a wide range of histories and perspectives. But for casual, voters, right, in the district, having to sort that stuff out is difficult. So.
No, absolutely. And one of the things is like a lot of these candidates can cross file. So like I know down in like Pennsbury School District, there's these two candidates, Frank Cabanis and Tim Watkins. You know, they sent out sample ballots where it shows that they're endorsed by like the Democrats, yet they're not endorsed by the Democrats. Right?
So yes.
There's even that kind of like trickery that's like still going on, which is more like the Karl Rovian playbook. But yeah, most of their stuff, like most of them are smart enough to kind of be pretty innocuous, like with what they're saying or like what their quote unquote platform is. I think some of them still kind of like are trying to use the school boards as like a battlefield for the culture wars, right?
Right.
And you kind of like, you mentioned that with like education, right? Like they see education as a way to tell kids what to think, rather than teaching them like how to think critically. Right?
Right.
And that's why they want to kind of like limit, you know, what type of books or curriculum that they're exposed to. And I mean, you know, America is just like messy, it's complicated. You know, we've done some great things, we've done some horrible things. If we're ever going to grow, like, we need to inspect like all of that, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yep. And I, you know, you look at this too as well. I mean, I can look at, you know, like the achievements that have been made through the labor movement during particular periods in history, right? And I could say, look, if you look at what happened with the New Deal and actually what it did for working people and all, or at least, well, you should say, you know, segments of the working class, right? Because African Americans and were primarily left out of that deal because of the kind of work, and so were kind of Latinos and Hispanics, right? But I mean, that's a complicated history. But we could look at that as an achievement, and at the same time, we could acknowledge this is, you know, this country has one of the most bloody labor histories like of any country in the world, right? In terms of like literally wars being fought in the streets, right? And bombings of like, you know, mountains into oblivion in West Virginia, right, as part of these histories. And I don't think, I've never thought that knowing that history puts in jeopardy a democratic promise. If anything, right, it enables its continuance in the future because it basically allows to say, this, we have choices here, right? We could return down these particular pathways, we can go forward. And again, that's at the heart of the educational process, but I don't know. Well, let me ask
No,
you, oh,
yeah.
sorry, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you go, because we only have a few more minutes left.
So I one thing I wanted to kind of I want to get your just kind of quick thoughts, at least if you saw this the New Yorker piece that came out with about Doug Mastriano. About Christian nationalism and so on. And what I thought was so important about that, at least, was just kind of looking at that and saying, here you go. This is the connection to what's happening in Bucks County and the Republican Party. But I'm just curious, you got a kind of initial takes on that.
Sure. I mean, it was a great piece. It was really well reported. I think it's rattled Mastriano, and he had a Facebook Live.
Did you see that?
Yeah, for
That was
2 weeks.
unbelievable.
You know, and this is someone who most likely will be running for governor and is probably one of the top two or three favorites out of the Republican Party. Like, this is the best of the best for the Pennsylvania GOP. This Christian nationalist who's propagating the big lie that the election was stolen, who chartered buses to this insurrection, who is kind of like anti-science, anti-fact, anti-logic. And it's, you know, it's really, and this goes to like these ballot questions too, which are so important, you know, because the
That's a good point.
Republicans want to take away, you know, Wolf's ability to handle, you know, emergencies like the public health emergency, the pandemic that we're finding ourselves in. But if like you look at the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, especially in the legislature, right? It would be like letting the inmates run the asylum. These people are just completely out of touch with reality. And you know, I think what we've seen is that this is the new normal for Republican politics. You know, because you can trace it from the school boards to state reps, the state senators. We're seeing this kind of like this far right kind of like fringe, you know, QAnon type approach to politics that has really, which really now, you know, defines the Republican Party. And I hope that the, you know, some national publication, other national publications, you know, besides the New Yorker, kind of like dive into this, especially with some of the elections coming up, you know, for
Right.
senator, U.S. senator, the governor's election, for the governor as well in a couple of years. So yeah, I thought it was a great piece. I loved seeing him kind of like squirm a bit. You know, and he's just a bold-faced liar as well. That's what's just like really like shamelessly just lying
It's remarkable.
people, and without even like blinking an eye. For someone that likes to like, you know, thump on his Bible so much, he's just like the biggest hypocrite. But again, he's got a huge following, right? And that's what we're contending with, and that's why I think it's like important that, you know, we're building this progressive movement, you know, in Bucks County, kind of profiling the organizations and the people that are kind of like doing the work every day to kind of to build a more inclusive and racially and economically and like socially just society.
Absolutely. And I think that's one thing that on this podcast, one of the things I think that you're going to hear quite a bit of in the future going forward is wanting to put a spotlight on some of the work that's actually going on and progresses within the county. So having said that, let me kind of like ask you a little bit of what's, you know, some of the things that you've been writing on your columns, right? Things that you want to highlight, things that you think good. And, you know, if you want to, you give a little kind of sneak peek on things you got coming up or things that you're working on now.
Sure. I mean, you know, like I said, for me, the most important thing was to be a space for progressive voices, concerns, and solutions, and so that's what I'm striving to do, and that's why I'm kind of like I'm trying to like reach out to as many people as possible. I want to be as accessible as possible, and cover as much as possible. Right now, I only have a column once every 2 weeks. Who knows, maybe in the future that could increase. I would love it if it did. And then, you know, I think one of the things I want to write on, which, you know, is dear to your heart as a professor in the university system in Pennsylvania, is just this new consolidation plan. It's really troubling because part of the problem is they're blaming the system for being a shell of what it once was, but the reason why they could make that critique is because they've been hollowing it out for
exactly,
you know, for the last like 20 years, starving it of funding and support. So like they've created this, you know, what they're calling a crisis, right, in order to use that as an excuse to kind of do this kind of like, you know, neoliberal makeover to the state, you know, higher education system, which was such a benefit to so many students. It was such a vehicle for social mobility for so many students, and now it's just become unaffordable, right?
Right.
Where if you do go, then you're just saddled with debt. So I'm gonna kind of dive into that, and just kind of really just try to expose like the hypocrisy and some of like the dirty business and dirty tricks that have been played in order to kind of create this higher ed crisis now that we're finding ourselves in Pennsylvania. And again, like this shows like why like we need strong unions, we need students involved, we need people like educating, organizing, and mobilizing against this. Over the next, you know, with less than 60 days now, in order to kind of stop this, right? In order to
exactly
kind of put a halt to it. And then, but the thing is, like, it can't stop. Like, it can't just be like a one-off thing where this is just a campaign, you know, against this scheme. This needs to continue. We need to help create a culture of resistance, right, and of organizing and of political engagement from both students and support staff and you know, professors and educators that are involved, because you know that's the only way that we can kind of take power, is when there's that kind of like unity, right? Because we have mm-hmm. you know, they're organized, right? You know, the opposition is organized. They have a plan, right? They do it through, and they do it from like local elections to statewide elections and to the people that get appointed to certain positions. So like we have to counter that with political organizing, political power and mobilizations, right? And that's, you know, that's how I see it. I'd love to hear your take on it.
No, 100%. I mean, I think, you know, I've mentioned this on our shows multiple times over the years, where in 2016, when we mobilized for a strike, you know, first ever APSCUS, first ever strike in the system, that moment was this, a picture, like this momentary glimpse of what would be possible. Because it wasn't just faculty out on the street, right? It wasn't just faculty that were on strike. You had mobilization of students, right? Students were out there on the lines with us. We had like literally university marching bands showing up and playing music, right, on the strike lines in support. You had community members that were dropping food by, right, and coming by, and coming parents coming and telling stories about their, you know, what difference this has made in their kids' lives. Right. We had other unions, right, from Lehigh Valley, from Berks County, that were stopping by to go walk the line with us. And that, in my mind, was that moment where you got to see what was possible. Right. If we pay attention to each other's struggles and we start to say, we're not going to leave it up to the people at the top to make decisions for us. Right. We're going to take the bull by the horns, as it were. Right. And take control ourselves. Right. And make our assertions. And I think that was the moment that, you know, I think from my perspective that we squandered as a union. Right. And that kind of coalition was allowed to wither on the vine. And I'm only can hope that now we've learned some of the lessons of that as I was moving forward and kind of the organizing that's been going on since then. That we may be able to kind of, you know, this is another one of these moments. And again, not just for higher education, but across the board, where we're in this together, right? And looking for where's our struggles intersect, where we can find areas to kind of mutually reinforce one another and show up for each other in order to kind of combat the kind of like serious money and organizational power of the far right.
No, absolutely. I mean, and just like what you described, I mean, that was just, that's beautiful. That's culture of resistance.
Totally.
This isn't an angry thing, right? This is a celebration of who we are and what we are.
Exactly.
And while we're confronting something on one hand, we have a vision on the other, which we're trying to kind of build and realize.
Yep. And I think it's true of any social movement we've ever seen. It's like it's that those moments of possibility, of hope, that is enacted on the streets, right, or enacted in communities and acted as part of the struggle, as what gives us the glimmer of that possibility, right, gives us the glimmer of that future.
So Kevin, I need to run off to teach.
Yep. I was just about to say, I know you got a heart out.
One thing, you know, I want to say is just like, please like get involved in these local school board races. Get to know who your candidates are, who are the ones that have these like fringe lunatic beliefs, everything from, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it from, but like in North Penn, in Montgomery County, which is still PA first, there's a similar situation going on there. And it's really important that we not only just vote, but get out the vote, right? Which is gonna take some time, some door knocking, some phone calling, some reaching out to people, because there's a lot on the line. What we do, you know, voting is just one day out of the year, but it's like what we're doing like in the days leading up and like after it that are just like really the most important. So I just want to kind of implore people to kind of like get involved with that. And I'm doing my small part by trying to like highlight some of the candidates on my newsletter, which is something that's like really shareable so that like folks can learn about like all the amazing experience that these folks have, that these Democrats have, and then just their kind of like collaborative approach to what it means to be a school board member, right? Whether it's respecting the teachers, right, and their experience and their knowledge that they're bringing to the table, as well as being accessible to the community, which just seems like a fundamental democratic norm that unfortunately is being discarded in places like Pennridge.
100%. Well, Cyril, this is like the first of many conversations to come. I don't think we could leave it on a better moment than that. So listen, everybody, this is, wrong one. See, this is me get Russian at the end here. We'll talk to everybody pretty soon. Cyril's got a heart out. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. See ya.